I remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing and I was looking out the front window, and the anticipation was just about to overcome me. You see, I had a date. I had a blind date. Basically, all I knew was she was going to be female, and she was going to be breathing, and that was enough to get my anticipation excited. And I was looking out the window, and I was waiting for the car to pull in. So you see, my friend and his girlfriend had invited us on a blind date with another couple, and like I said, there was a female that was willing to go out with me, and I was excited. And I looked out the window in anticipation, and my mom says, "What's going on?" I said, just hanging out. I try to be cool, And I was waiting, and suddenly the car pulled into the driveway. And I really coolly strolled out to the car, Should I walk this way? Or should I maybe, And I did my best as I walked out to the car to make a good impression. When I got out to the car, my friend and his girlfriend, they got out of the car, and two girls piled out and a guy piled out, and I went, "I don't know which one's my date." And the first girl I seen had a beautiful smile, and I said, "Wow, I hope she's my date." And then the other girl got out, and I'm like, "Okay, she's okay too. I'll take her. This is going to be a good night, Well, they all piled back in the car. It was like one of those Chinese fire drills where they all got out and they all ran and they all rearranged their seats, and it was pretty obvious. It was pretty obvious which one was my date when they all got seated in the car, and I sat next to my date, and we proceeded to go roller skating. Teenagers, that's what we did back in those days. We went roller skating, and we drove to the roller skating rink, and we sat there in silence. I told my date I like cars, and she said, "Okay," and I told her this and that, and we realized by the time we got to the roller skating rink that we had absolutely nothing in common, and no matter how hard we tried, we just weren't compatible. And I said, "Well, let's make the best out of this night." So I went and I put my roller skates on, and I went and started skating. And my date that night abandoned me. She was gone. I don't even know where she went until it was time to go home. And suddenly she's back in the car again. She disappeared. But the other girl that was out with the other guy, she kept falling down. I thought she wasn't a very good skater at first. Then I realized what she was actually doing. You see, her date had abandoned her and was gone, and she was left skating by herself. And you know those referee guys that are in the center of the teenagers that you probably don't, but in the middle of the roller skating rink, there was an official, and if someone fell down or something, he would come help them. And this girl fell down, and I went over and I helped her up. And she skated about 10 feet and fell down again. And I picked her up, and she skated about 10 more feet and fell down. And I'm like, "Boy, this girl can't skate at all. Well, that was Miss Dawn." Amen. And it was through that she was waiting. She was trying to get the official to come over and help her because she thought he was cute. But her falling down and me picking her up was that initial meeting. And I'm telling you, from that moment on, I was head over heels, lovesick. That is all that consumed my mind was Miss Dawn. Didn't call her Miss Dawn then, but I asked her out on a date, and we went out on a date, and when I brought her home, she was in a foster home at the time. a very strict foster home. I knew the foster home, so I was very, very careful. But at the same time, I really, really wanted that first kiss. So as I went to drop her off, I walked her up to the door, and there was her mom and her sister and everyone else. And so I said, "Oh, your dad, he's out in the barn. Let's go tell him goodnight too before I leave." So we walked out to the barn, and halfway out to the barn, I knew it was my opportunity, and I kissed Miss Dawn for the first time. And I'm telling you, she had me. I was done. I was madly in love with her. I got up early just to drive by and see her waiting for the bus. They call that stalking nowadays, but I drove by to see her, and pretty soon I got up enough nerve where I would stop and I would say, "Hi." I don't know why I never did that. I was a teenager, I guess. But from that moment on, I was head over heels in love with Miss Dawn. And I don't know exactly when, but there was a point very early in that when I said, "I got to marry this girl. I have to get some legal binding contract that says no other guy can have her." I've got to stand up in front of all my friends and say, "This is the love of my life, and I love her." And I'm telling you, my marriage has been, other than my coming to Christ, my marriage has been the best thing that's ever happened in my life. I know all marriages aren't like that. It takes some effort. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But I got a video. This is, you might relate to some of the problems between guys and girls. So
it's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't it. We're having technical difficulties. Okay, let's forget that then. Basically, the video, she's got a...
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah.
Okay, Teddy, cut. Basically, she turns to him, and she's got a nail sticking out of her head. And he says, "Well, you got a nail." And she goes, "You always try to fix it. And you just need to listen to me." And it's this conversation of how they're trying to... the guys want to fix things, and ladies just want to have their husbands listen to them. And it was a pretty funny video. I wish you could have seen it. But... guys and girls are different. We all know that, right? Amen. According to the Catholic Match Institute, guys have more upper body strength They have thicker skulls. I know, ladies, that's your opportunity for a joke. They have thicker skulls. They have more ability to build muscle. They are they're different than the ladies, right? Well, the ladies, you guys have, according to the study, you guys have 4 times more neurons connecting the left side of your brain to the right side of your brain. That means that you can think about more than one thing at a time, and that confuses us guys. So where am I going with all this? Dating, relationship, marriages, guys and girls being different. Way back in Genesis, we see that Eve was created from Adam's side. And there's always been that joke that the Eve was created out of the rib, that the rib that could tell, that allowed you to read minds. There's always the attributes that the guy doesn't have that the woman have. There's always that joke. But really, that's what happened. Some of the attributes Eve has and some of the attributes guys have, and that's what causes the difficulty in marriages, right? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 22. And let's take a look at that as Paul calls a great mystery of how men and women enter into relationships and marriage. And Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now the church submits Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body. They feed and care for their body, just as Christ does for the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. "However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect the husband." Amen. We, as I have talked about, Dawn and I have, we've had our troubles, but we've had our mountaintop moments too, and we both bring attributes to the table that helps our marriage work. You know, Miss Dawn is so nice to, she allows me to make the decision, but she guides me in that decision. You know what I'm talking about? We both work together as one flesh to accomplish what we need to do. And that that was what is talking about here. But initially, when you read this section of Scripture, the first thing you hear is, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And husbands, love your wives. And you look at it as instructions for husbands and wives and how to interact with each other. But did you catch verse 32? He says, this is a profound mystery, how they can become one flesh again. But he says, but I am talking about Christ and the church. He's saying, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. But he says, it's not really about husbands and wives. That is a design. It is a model of how the church and Christ interact with one another. It is part of the design that God created. Do you want to know? The United States of America did not come up with a marriage. Did you know that? The world did not come up with that concept of marriage. God Himself in the Garden of Eden created the concept of marriage. And you notice it's Adam, it's Eve, but then when they eat the forbidden fruit, guess what? They are hiding from the Lord. It's no longer Adam and Eve, it's they. So this scripture here is telling us how the wedding marriage works, but it's really telling us how we communicate and how we interact with God and how our relationship with God works. It is a working object lesson. Marriage is a working object lesson of how we interact with Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? In Ezekiel chapter 43, there it's talking about the temple, and it says the temple has a design to it. There's a area here. There's an exit here. There's an entrance here. You don't go in here. Only the priest can go in here. All of that stuff. It has a design, and God created that design. And then when I read these words a couple weeks ago, it just jumped out at me. God said, tell the people, write it down, make sure they know it, so they can be faithful to the design. God designed this function, the temple, for a purpose. And He said, make sure the people know the design so that they can understand that and they can be faithful to the design. And I want to tell you this morning, you need to understand how God wants marriages to be. And you can see that as an example of how we have a relationship with Christ. And I want to tell you this morning, if they made a book like this about Miss Dawn, and it told everything there was to know about Miss Dawn, if it told me what she liked and what she didn't like and where she wanted to go, I mean, at Christmas time, I'd be looking at the book. And when I went to the grocery store, I'd be like, hey, let me look. And when everywhere I went, I would carry this book with me. I wouldn't let it out of my sight if it told me about Miss Dawn. And guess what? This book right here tells us about our Savior and what He likes and what He doesn't like and how He interacts with us and everything. And man, I gotta admit, I do let it out of my sight sometimes, but I've got like five of them, so I everywhere I go, I got it on my phone and stuff. I really want to know how God interacts with me. Let me tell you, if Let's say hypothetically there was this device that during the day, if I wanted to send Dawn a little message, if I wanted to say simply, I want to love you, or I love you, if I wanted to send that message, kind of like one of these things, right? I would stop during the day and I would say, hey, I love you, Miss Dawn. I wouldn't say Miss Dawn, but I would say, I love you, Dawn, right? I would be using that all the time. In fact, I would have, you know, like text messages would be like thousands of them, right? Well, if you look at my phone bill, you'll see that I have thousands of text messages to Miss Dawn. It's a communication anywhere, anytime. I can talk to Miss Dawn and tell her how I feel. Well, guess what? God has made a communication with us that anywhere, anytime, we can communicate with Him and say, I love you. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. We can do that. I want to tell you this morning, as a married man, I have to conduct myself in a certain married man way. You guys know what that is. I don't have to explain it. I'm a married man. There's just certain things that I don't do. There's places that I don't go. And there's things that I just don't do. And when someone asks me to do one of those things, I say, sorry, I can't do that. I am married. Well, guess what? There is a way to conduct yourself when you're a Christian. There are places that you don't go. There's places that you don't, things that you just don't do. And when someone says, hey, can you do that? No, I don't do that. I'm a Christian. We need to conduct ourselves in a certain way. In verse 25, I just got to throw this in there. I told Miss Dawn, I love this. In verse 25, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word. Initially, that seemed pretty confusing because when you take on a wife, do you send her out for beauty treatments? Get her all scrubbed down and looking good for you? Well, In biblical times, that's exactly what happened. In the story of Esther, before she went before the king, it says, check this out, it says that she went 6 months of beauty treatments with oil and myrrh, and then she went another 6 months with cosmetics. Boy, my tongue's not working. Cosmetics. So for 12 months, she went under beauty treatments before she went to the before the king. Did you catch that? Think about that now. Think about that. Puts it kind of in perspective, doesn't it? Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through God's word. Do you realize you're getting a beauty treatment today? Preaching God's word is beauty treatments for his church. Working in our marriage, I told you our marriage is the best thing that's ever happened, and it is great, and I meant every word of that. But you know what? It takes effort. And I don't mean that to sound negative, but it takes effort. If I stop putting effort into my marriage, guess what? I don't have a marriage. If I stop talking to my wife, it's not going to be long before she's going to pack her bags and leave. If I stop putting effort into it, it's just going to end, right? Same way with Christ and us. If we stop putting effort into it, guess what? It's gonna end. At some point, if you stop the communication, if you stop the interaction, if you stop the Bible reading, if you stop all of the effort with Christ, he's not going to pack his bags and leave, but you're going to not have that relationship that you had. It takes effort to do that. I ran across a couple of studies, and one of the studies said that because we're wired differently, men and women, they see things, they see the relationship differently. Okay? It said that men are attracted physically first, while women are attracted more mentally and emotionally first, and then the physical attraction comes later. And they said because of those dynamics, listen to this, teens, because of that dynamic, it is not old-fashioned for the girl to control the pace of the relationship. Okay, if Alan wants to go out on a date, guess what? The girl says yes, or she says, I'm washing my hair. Okay, guess what? Alan goes out on a date based on what the girl decides. That's God's design for relationships. Think about that in a perspective with God. God is head over heels in love with you. He wants you. He is madly in love with you. He wants you, but you control the pace of the relationship. You can pray and have a meeting with Him this afternoon, this right now. You can have that relationship. It can be awesome. Or you can... I'm washing my hair right now, Lord. I don't have time for you. When I was looking for this study, I ran across another one, totally different, but kind of fits in my message here. They did a study, and men walk faster than women. Men, when they're walking, just typically, not in a race or anything, but men just walk down, they walk faster than women. But what they found was, this is pretty cool, they found that when they walk with their wife or their girlfriend, they slow their pace down to match what their wife or girlfriend's speed is. But check it out. If a guy is walking with another woman, and they're not husband, wife, or anything like that, if they're just walking down the sidewalk, guess what? The guy does not slow down. It's only if it's his girlfriend or his wife or significant person that they match the pace. And that study went on to say if two men were walking together, they both walk faster than either one of them would normally. So if it's your girlfriend or if it's your wife, you slow down, you match her speed. Well, think about this. The creator of the universe that knows everything is willing to slow his pace down to walk with you if you want to walk with him. It's up to you. You can walk with him every day. You can walk with him all day long. You can walk with him once a week. It's up to you. But I want to tell you, it's pretty overwhelming to think that the creator of the universe is going to slow his pace down to walk with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this design of marriage that you've created for us, that we're able to look to that and draw some analogies on and some design and how we walk with you. Lord, I pray that we would take this seriously and be able to understand our communication and how we walk and keep in step with you. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.